Good evening, everyone. And a happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Welcome to First Christian Reformed Church for our Thanksgiving service of worship. We want to especially welcome you if you are visiting with us this evening, perhaps visiting family from out of town, maybe back for Thanksgiving from college. Wherever you're here, we welcome you. And all of those of you who are joining us on the line as well, welcome all of you in the name of Jesus Christ who has gathered us together. As we continue in worship, let's stand together if you are able, and we will sing together now, "Come, You Thankful People, Come." God now calls us to worship with these words from Deuteronomy 32. "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. Let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drop like the rain, my speech condense like the dew, like gentle rain on grass, like showers on new growth. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God." Receive God's greeting. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. Amen.
I want to let you know as we continue worshiping here that the first part of this service will proceed unannounced, so we're going to remain standing now And then we will be seated after this and just pay attention either to your order of service or on the screen, and we'll just proceed together. Let's continue singing our God's praise now together.
Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done.
Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always.
Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Israel, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he has made himself known to us.
Thank you.
He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth.
He remembers his covenant forever.
The promise he made for 1,000 generations.
The covenant he made with Abraham.
The oath he swore to Isaac.
He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant.
To you I will give the land of Canaan as a portion you will inherit.
Give thanks to the Lord for his faithfulness from generation to generation.
When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another.
He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm.
Give thanks to the Lord for his protection.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day.
Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples.
For great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods.
For all gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place.
We sing with joy before the Lord.
Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved.
We worship the Lord with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading this evening comes to us from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. I encourage you to take out your Bibles or a pew Bible and turn there. If you're using a pew Bible, you'll find that on page 464 of the Old Testament section. As we prepare to hear God's word now, please join me in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, on this eve of Thanksgiving, we give you thanks for the gift of your word. You provide for our every need, not only physically, but spiritually as well, and all of it by the power of your word. Give us the ears to hear your word read and preached. Give us also the will to live in gratitude, in submission to your word, every day of our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, 1 Chronicles 16, beginning at verse 1. They brought in the ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before God. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord, and he distributed to every person in Israel, man and woman alike, to each a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. He appointed certain of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief, and second to him, Zechariah, Jael, Shemiramoth, Jahel, Mattatiah, Eliab, Benaiah, Obed-Edom, and Jael with harps and lyres. Asaph was to sound the cymbals, and the priests Benaiah and Jahaziel were to blow trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Then, on that day, David first appointed the singing of praises to the Lord by Asaph and his kindred. O give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered, O offspring of his servant Israel, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
My guess is that all of you have some fairly strong images associated with Thanksgiving Day, except for maybe some of the very young children out here who have not had enough Thanksgiving experiences to have developed strong associations yet. And maybe, though, these things aren't even necessarily images, but they perhaps are other sensory associations. I'm guessing some of you, when you think of Thanksgiving, will maybe think more of smells, some smoked turkey or pumpkin pie. Maybe for some of you, it would actually be sounds, like the clatter of dishes being cleared away from the table while the sound of a football game kind of drones away in the background. And right now, a bunch of you are actually about ready for a nap, aren't you? That's immediately what happens there. So now, when I mentioned the idea of images associated with Thanksgiving, a lot of you probably went there, but some of you, perhaps instead, might have thought immediately of Puritans dressed in their kind of, you know, black and white garb, gathered around an outdoor feast with a nice pastoral New England scene in the background. So whether you went either any of those directions, those are powerful images and associations that function to help us remember not only our own family stories — it's important to remember those things — but also our own nation's story. The context of the passage we heard this evening is, the broader context, is the recovery of the Ark of the Covenant, its movement to Jerusalem, and what we see here is the establishment or the reestablishment of worship appropriate to the Ark's presence in the midst of God's people. Now, whatever strong images and associations that any of us here might have with Thanksgiving feasts of years past, they would pale in comparison to those images and associations that would accompany the Ark of the Covenant for God's people during the reign of David. The book of Hebrews tells us that within the Ark, which was itself the symbol of God's presence with his people, but within the Ark was preserved, Hebrews tells us, a golden urn with the manna, so they preserved some of the manna from the wilderness, and Aaron's staff that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. The Ark preserved for God's people these tangible reminders, not only of God's promised presence with them, but tangible reminders of their own history. A history that was guided by the God who led them and provided for them at every turn, including, think of the manna in those inhospitable places of the wilderness. So just as at Thanksgiving we might remember our English Calvinist cousin ancestors, the Puritans, sailing to a new land, facing hardships that are almost unimaginable to us in the 21st century, and then very purposefully pausing to give thanks to the God whose hand they believed sustained and led them. Like that, when God's people thought of the Ark, they would have remembered Moses and Aaron and all of their ancestors making their way through that dry sea and then that dry land, facing hardships, war, all manner of temptations posed by the surrounding tribes and their gods, and of course, more than anything else, they would have remembered the God who made that covenant with their father Abraham and renewed that covenant with his people at Sinai in the desert. There's the Ark. There's the contents. Not least those tablets. So with the arrival of the Ark, David naturally appoints certain of the Levites to be ministers of God for the people of God, leading them in worship, which the fourth verse of 1 Chronicles 16 tells us what worship is. Uses three prepositions there: to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. That's worship in a nutshell. So the ministers appointed by David are called to do what the Ark's presence itself would naturally lead the people toward: to lead the people in a grateful remembrance of God's presence and power that ends with praise, worship. Old Testament scholar Martin Selman points out the three phrases, so those prepositional phrases there, to invoke, to thank, and to praise, should be understood as a collective reference to the activities of worship. According to the Hebrew custom of expressing the comprehensiveness of an idea by a series of near synonyms rather than as separate liturgical activities. So we're asked to see those three prepositions not as separate kind of entities of worship, but as these near synonyms that kind of describe the whole of it. So the word invoke itself translates a Hebrew word that in other contexts is commonly and appropriately translated as remember or recall. So all worship, rightly understood, then should be an act of grateful remembrance of the one true God and his actions for his people that then overflows into this grateful praise rendered to him alone. Now, the psalm of remembrance, thanksgiving, and praise that is recorded immediately after the opening verses perfectly models what worship really should always entail. And you'll notice, though, that even if a worship of grateful praise and remembrance ought to come naturally to God's people, especially thinking of this context as they stand there in the presence of the ark, that should come naturally to them, the psalm actually includes no less than 11 imperative verbs, 11 commands to God's people in just verses 8 through 13. I didn't continue going there after that in the rest of the psalm. So give thanks. All of these are commands. Give thanks, call on, make known, sing praises, tell of, glory, let rejoice, seek, remember. Maybe it won't, after all, almost like God, through his Holy Spirit, inspired these words to be written to a people for whom it wouldn't always come naturally. It wouldn't always be so easy to lift up their hearts in worship of grateful remembrance. Maybe God's people will sometimes need those commands to urge them on to come before their God in grateful worship. Because what happens when we find ourselves, we've been going through the story that predominantly deals with Jacob's sons, but Joseph in the morning sermon series here, those of you who are visiting, some context. What happens when we find ourselves like Joseph in some pit that we wouldn't choose for ourselves? The images and the reminders of God's presence and wonderful works aren't always the first things that come to mind when you're sitting at the bottom of the pit. When you're sitting at the bottom of the pit, kind of the first things that come to mind are the hard floor, and those, we've talked about the cistern, the walls of it go like this, and there's a little hole. It's the hard floor, and it's the walls, and it's your empty stomach. That's what you're thinking about predominantly when you're sitting there in the bottom of the pit. It's the hospital walls. And you're sitting there facing whatever diagnosis, those stupid health posters, no offense, Dr. Quillwine and anybody else, you see these inane posters, like, I don't care about whatever that is, and the antiseptic smell. It's your own imagination playing out all the what-ifs. In other contexts, it's your own mind replaying those words that somebody said that cut you like a knife. It's the feeling of the gut punch of betrayal over and over. When you're in the pit, those are the things that come to mind. God knew that. Even if the Ark of the Covenant goes missing after some battle with Israel's enemies who take off Israel into captivity, some foreign land, and even if we find ourselves sometimes in the pit, carried off to places we don't want to go, those imperative verbs, those commands, are still standing there in the pages of Scripture. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Seek the Lord. Remember the wonderful deeds that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments that he uttered. Friends, it's not a choice. They're imperative verbs. They are commands that we are called and that we are empowered by God's Spirit to obey, even when we're sitting in the bottom of the pit. We might not feel like obeying those commands when we're sitting at the bottom of the pit, but our feelings don't remove them from the pages of Scripture, and our feelings don't render them no longer applicable to us. And it might actually just be that when we're sitting at the bottom of the pit is precisely the most important time for us to obey these commands. And we could say that even selfishly. When would it be more helpful for us than when we're sitting in the bottom of the pit, to strain our hearts and our minds to see beyond those walls and instead see the ark, to see the manna, to see Aaron's staff, to see the stone tablets of the covenant, the God of covenant love made with us, to hear the word, to taste the bread and wine, the body and the blood, broken, shed, crucified, risen. When is it more important for us to look past those walls and remember the past faithfulness of our God and the promise of his present and future faithfulness and love to us and give thanks? When would it be better for us than when we're in the pit to gratefully remember our God and all of his wonderful works for his people? And anyway, that's speaking selfishly. Probably be good for us. But does the God who providentially governs all things for our good, does he not deserve our grateful worship when we are in the pit? But maybe you're not in the pit tonight. I hope you're not. Some of you are. The task of grateful remembrance from the pit, and maybe tonight I'm speaking now at this moment to those of you who aren't right now in the pit. The task of grateful remembrance from the pit is made all the easier if we are intentional about the habit of grateful praise week in and week out. This is the act of worship we're describing here. Every Sunday we come back for a worship service of covenant renewal, remembrance. This is what we're talking about. Week in and week out, we exercise the muscles of worship, gratitude. We're good Reformed people. We know that that's supposed to overflow into Monday through Saturday as well. Week in, week out, day in, day out. And yes, on the eve of Thanksgiving, we say year in, year out, on this one day that is set aside, out of the other 364 days of the year, this one day that we're set aside, that we might very intentionally pause to give God our grateful praise for all of his wonderful works that he has done to us and for us. So even though some would argue that Thanksgiving Day is a secular national holiday, I want you to know that it is not, as if such a thing as a secular holy day could exist. They're all worshiping something. But know that Thanksgiving Day is indeed an inherently religious holiday. As 1 Chronicles reminds us, giving thanks is worship. The only question then is, well, if you're giving thanks tomorrow, what are you giving thanks to? Who are you giving thanks to? Which God are you giving thanks and worship? If you are giving thanks in remembrance of the wonderful works of the God who fulfilled his covenant promises in Jesus Christ, then on Thanksgiving Day, you are engaged in an act of Christian worship that then, as we think outwards, should set the tone and the tenor of every day of your life, rendered to God as a sacrifice of grateful worship. So, go forth, friends, tomorrow, especially tomorrow, but then in every day to give thanks to the Lord. Go forth to call on his name, to make known his deeds, to sing praises to him, to remember the wonderful works he has done. Friends, go forth to worship your God. Amen. Let us now give thanks to our God for all of his wonderful works and his goodness to us by singing together for the fruit of all creation. And friends, you may stand together as we sing.
We've come to that time again when once a year we are drawn to prayer by a vegetable. Good job on the pumpkin. We come in the context of, again, Psalm 29, 1 and 2. We've already noted that. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Let's prepare our hearts for prayer. We do come to your presence with thanksgiving tonight, Lord. Our hearts are filled with praise for your creative glory all around us, for your spirit working in us and through us, for your truth enlightening our homes and our church. And we ascribe to you and to you alone all glory and strength. We come to you in weakness, struggling with temptations, falling prey to so many tricks and nonsense of the devil himself. For all that, we bow in humble confession. Thank you, Father, for holding us close, for comforting us, for bearing with us and leading us back to your path. And once again this year, we share all the blessings, all the special events, and the joys and the benefits that the environment we live in fill us with gratitude. First, we reflect on how grateful we are for our families, in particular for healthy families, for grandpa and grandma, for grandkids, for mom and for dad, for cousins, for daughters, for a healthy pregnancy. And then there's my brother. Thanks for him too. Someone became a great aunt. Thanks for that. For special friends, companionship, for becoming engaged. We even thank you for pets, dogs, and, oh yes, my hamster. Lord of creation, thank you that we can play outside, for cooler weather, for warmer weather, for being able to go on vacation, for snow and all the wonderful changes of seasons, for trees and the shade they bring, for sunshine itself bringing life to our globe. In this sunshine, we can play football and volleyball, develop friendships in sport teams, and compete together. Thanks for this, too. Thank you, Father, for the ability to learn and grow, for our schools, Sioux Center Christian and Public, Hull Christian School, Dort University, and for all that we can learn, and even math. Thank you for the beauty around us in art and music, especially percussion. Please teach us to place your word at the center of all the learning, all the reading, all the podcasts, all the teaching that happens in our wonderful families. Fill our professional lives as well with thanksgiving, our jobs and our professions. How important and rewarding it is to be blessed in this way. Thank you for the ways we grow and develop a new rental home, new investments and responsibilities. And in this environment tonight, we think of our congregation gathered here to praise, to sing, to learn, to grow together spiritually. Thank you for strong preaching, plentiful encouragement, for the many times we gather here freely to sing and pray together. Precious to us is the preaching of the word, our friendship Bible class, our women's sermon discussion groups, our Wednesday night meals, and all the volunteering that makes that happen. Most of all, Lord God Almighty, we thank you for yourself, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. As we sometimes go through times of struggle, we look to you, for who else do we have to look to? Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, and worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. May somehow what we do and how we interact and how we share your love with those outside these walls, and strangers and friends, bring glory to your holy name. Receive our love and our gratitude, and great Lord of all, and bring to remembrance all your mercies and commands and comfort and strength, so that the lives we live throughout the year reveal a determination to be thankful. Amen.
Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns.
Let the sea resound and all that is in it.
Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them.
Let the trees of the forest sing, let them sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Cry out, save us, God our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations.
That we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise.
Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting.
Thank you.
friends, you are invited to proceed to the fellowship hall and enjoy some coffee and bars and cookies. And you are also now, beloved in Christ, sent forth to give thanks to our God. As you go, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you his peace. And all God's people say,
Amen.